And please turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 9 through 17 is our text for this morning. You should be able to find a Bible in one of the chairs in front of you. There are also children's notes there in the back. And I'd encourage children, since this is a sermon in many ways about children, fill one of those sheets out and listen, because at one point in the sermon, I'm going to start talking to you, and I want you to listen. A year ago, our session, identified as one of the vision points for our congregation, to be the training up of youth. Training up of youth in the body of Christ, and we've been working on this for the past year and a few weeks. And the Sunday School Hour will be talking about a refreshed approach to our youth Sunday School program. As a session, we're thinking actively about helping young families, encouraging our children in the Lord, and we want to pray and think about what would God have us do in this way. So in view of this vision, I want to take 2 weeks, this week and next, to speak on the theme of children raised up for Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. Children raised up for Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. And before we get to this text, I just want to make two preliminary comments about that. The first is, this is not just a message for parents or for kids, but for us as a body. The text we're going to read, we'll find, it has a promise about children, but it's written in verse 17 to servants of the Lord. If you are a servant of the Lord, this is a text and a theme for you. Well, what's God going to do to raise up the next generation for Jesus Christ? And the second comments I want to make is, as we begin to think about this, the beginning point is not so much what we're up to, but what God's up to. What's God doing? What does God seek to do in raising up the next generation of the church for Jesus Christ? And we'll find in this text, God has a great purpose, and we'll see that in verses 9 through 17, and don't miss verse 13 of the text, because that's the real highlighted promise that we'll spend a significant amount of time on. So we'll read Isaiah 54, verses 9 through 17. Give ear, this is the word of God. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and I will lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agates, your gates of carbuncles, and all your wall of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. This is the word of God. Well, a few months ago, I found myself... Oh, dear. I'm not always clear why there's a bell in the pulpit, but now you know. There is a bell in the pulpit. Anyways, a few months ago, I found myself racing my family from a St. Louis IKEA parking lot to our minivan. Tornado sirens sounded in the distance, and our campsite was about an hour away. And by the way, who wants to be in a campsite in the middle of a tornado? So we raced from the IKEA parking lot to a movie theater, a safe place to spend the evening, and we spent our evening in the movie theater as the tornadoes raced through St. Louis. We got out of the movie theater. The tornadoes had passed, but it was still raining. And as I white-knuckled it on our minivan all the way back to the campsite, I wondered, are those riverside streets that we're going to drive by, have they flooded? The farm roads, those back roads that we have to go through to get to the campsites, will we be able to get through? And oh, by the way, I set up our tent. Is the tent even going to be there when we arrive? And perhaps it goes without saying, but it's possible that the grip marks from that 1 hour drive are still on our van. Navigating life in the middle of a storm just makes things a whole lot more difficult. Life can be exciting. A camping trip is really exciting until there's a tornado. And Isaiah 54 has for us an exciting promise, for us about children. Verse 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Well, what a promise. What a promise. But who does the promise come to? It comes to people navigating life in the middle of a storm. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, God's promise here is not addressed to confident, competent parents who have everything together. Verse 11 does not say, oh, church that has never had to wrestle with how to raise up children. Verse 11 does not say, oh, people full of joy and no sorrows in your life. Verse 11, oh, afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted. Afflicted, not comforted, storm-tossed. Speaking to believers, servants of the Lord who are navigating life in the middle of a storm. For Israel, the storm would be a coming exile. The promise, Babylon is coming. They're taking you into exile. You can just hear the parents, I wasn't planning on raising my son. I wasn't planning on raising my daughter in Babylon. Maybe you've said the same kind of thing about your kids. For the generation to come, this feels like Babylon. This wasn't where I was hoping to raise my kids. Others, maybe not thinking so directly just about the kids they have. Maybe they don't even have children. But they're sitting thinking, if we're going to Babylon and all the promises are about Jerusalem, is there really a future? Is there really a future? And maybe that's where your fear is. People this week have been mesmerized by an app that you put a picture of yourself in and it ages you by 50 years. And here's what I'm going to look like 50 years from now. Some of you would probably be terrified if that app said, here's what the church will look like 50 years from now. We have those fears. We're in the middle of a storm. What happens if the tornado sirens come right here? What happens? So I wonder where your storm is today. It may tie exactly to kids. It may tie exactly to the children that you live life with every day. It may tie to something totally different. Work, your sin, somewhere else. But what God says is this. Get your eyes on what I'm going to do now and in the next generation. Get your eyes on what I'm going to do now and in the next generation. Verse 17 uses the term heritage, inheritance. I've got an inheritance for you, the Lord says. You haven't tapped into all of it yet. Here's the heritage of the next generation for people navigating life in the middle of a storm. And what we see in the text is two truths we must believe about what God will do into the next generation. And the first truth is this: the Lord will keep His covenant in the storm. The Lord will keep His covenant in the storm. And particularly here, we see this in verses 9 and 10. You can just hear these storm-tossed people, can't you? The water is rising, the wind is howling, the thunder is crashing. They're beginning to ask with the songwriter, where's God's love? Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Where is God's love when the waves are rising? It feels like judgment, God, not mercy. Maybe that's you. God sort of changed modes for me, for the church. No longer the mercy mode, it's judgment mode all the time. And biblically, when we think about judgment, water, and storm, your mind should go to one place: Noah's Ark. Judgment, the wrath of God coming on the enemies, and the storm wiping things out and only a few preserved. That's where our mind goes. And Isaiah, I think, would say, funny you mention Noah. Funny you mention Noah. Verse 9 and 10. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. The Lord says, I agree. This is like Noah's day. This is after the flood, in Noah's day, where I made that promise that the waters were never going to rise up so high as to cover the earth again. You see, the Lord didn't promise to Noah and his offspring that there would be no more storms. The Lord didn't promise that there would be no more crises. Verse 10, the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed. Terrible things may happen. When we were in St. Louis, the floodwaters were higher than I'd ever seen it. And you could look out into the waters and all of a sudden realize just barely creeping above the water was the top of a building, the top of a park, the top of a baseball field. And you realize the waters get pretty high. Well, the Lord is saying here, the promise to Noah is that there is no generation, not even the 21st century, where the waters of suffering get high enough to overwhelm God's steadfast love. That there is no generation where the storm gets so loud, where the thunder crashes so fiercely that the covenant of peace and the hearts of His children can be broken. There's no generation where the enemies of God are so angry and so violent against the church that somehow the compassion of the Lord won't win out. You see, when God was talking to Noah about what was going to happen in the rainstorms, or what wouldn't happen, He wasn't just talking about what kind of readings Noah would get on his rain gauge. What Isaiah is saying here is the promise is about love, about peace, about God preserving His people from one generation to the next. And what's at the heart of the promise of peace, the covenant of peace? In some ways, I don't really need to ask this because it's been answered for us. Psalm 85b is going to convey peace to us, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Just see a peace connection with Isaiah 53. Right before Isaiah 54, most famous passage in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That doesn't sound like he's being rescued from the storm. That sounds like Christ in the storm. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. At the heart of God promising, at the heart of the covenant of peace, Isaiah 54:10, is that Christ would come and the storm would land on Christ to rescue the likes of you and me from the storm. And that's the foundation of what we believe God will do for us, our children, and the next generation. That God will regard His church according to the work of Christ on the cross to bring peace. And right now, whatever that storm is that we've talked about already for you, the peace will be found. The peace will be found in looking to Jesus Christ. Look to Christ as the one who went through the chastisement. But I want us to see a particular application of how God's going to keep His covenant in the storm for us and our children. What was the focus of that promise to Noah? Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." A promise to the sons. Genesis 9, 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you." That promise to Noah, no more storms that wipe everything out, is because God wants to build a church. One family there at the beginning. Families and families and families that fill the earth. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord is what's going to cover the earth now. And it's going to happen as God builds His church, as He keeps His covenant from one generation to the next, down to the children, down to their children. And this is a guarantee. This is a guarantee that God will work through His covenants. Of course, at times there are children that aren't drawn in. Not all of Israel are Israel, but God will work in this pattern and draw children to Himself. I started off by talking about my tent. Really, if any of you have ever seen me set up a tent, you know there's a chance that thing could have ended up in the Mississippi River. But look at Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes." What will happen? "You will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations." That tent can be enlarged, and no storm is throwing that thing out. And this promise didn't start with the planting of a church here, the planting of a denomination there, anything like that. It started with a promise to Noah, which ultimately goes back to Adam and then runs forward to Christ. So in the middle of your storm right now, look back. If you want to think about the next generation, look back to the promises God has already made. And then look around you. Look at the church that He's formed. There are a whole lot more families than Noah and his kids right now. There's more than that right here. Perhaps in your pew. And if no storms have come to wipe out the church from Noah to now, the storm you're facing isn't going to be the end of the road. It just can't be. It doesn't work like that. His promises go farther back than that. And then let's think about how this is going to work out at Second RP. As we think about our own children, the next generation, our success, our hope is not grounded in youth Sunday school vision plans. Our hope is not grounded in parenting classes, good schooling decisions, good plans and ideas for connecting with kids and all that kind of thing. Those are all great things that we long for. But our hope is grounded that there's a covenant of peace in the storm. There's a steadfast God, of steadfast love. There's a Christ who hung on the cross to bring peace. The Holy Spirit is the one of life and peace. And He will build His church. He will build His church. The Lord will keep His covenant in the storm. And then we have to ask, what's going to bring that about? How will God bring about this preservation? It's here we want to hone in more specifically on verse 13. The second truth we must believe is this: the Lord will teach the children of the storm-tossed. Storm-tossed, that word from verse 11. The Lord will teach the children of the storm-tossed. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Israel was the center. The center of teaching for Israel was Jerusalem. The temple, the festivals, the priesthood. Isaiah 2, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways. Going to the house of the Lord was going to be taught by the Lord. So what are exiled people going to wonder? How is it going to happen? How do we get taught? Will God continue to be our teacher when we are sent off to Babylon? How does the Lord answer? Verse 11 and 12. I don't want to comment too much today on the stones and all that's said here, but what's all this language about stones and foundations about? I'm going to lay the foundations of the city. I'm going to rebuild the city. I'm going to establish my people with beauty. I'm going to lay the foundations again, even in the storm, where the city is established and the foundation has been laid. The Lord will teach the next generation. Where the city is established and the foundation is laid, the Lord will teach the next generation. And this is wonderful for us. The city established, Hebrews 12 speaks of the church as the city of the living God. Ephesians 2, the church is on foundations. The apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. In Jesus Christ, the city is established. The foundation is laid. What will happen? All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. We need to hear this. Hear this as you and I, all of us, if we received Christ as adopted sons and daughters of God. It's not just referring to the biological children, but all who come in, who are adopted in as the sons and daughters of God. And then anticipate, how is God going to bring this out in the next generation? And there's really two layers to how we anticipate the Lord teaching our children. There's two layers to this second truth we have to believe, that the Lord will teach the children of the storm-tossed. And the first layer is this: the Lord will draw children to Himself. The Lord will draw children to Himself. Verse 13, all your children will be taught by the Lord. Now, how do we know that that's talking about the Lord drawing children to Himself? I have it on good authority. Jesus says so. John 6, Jesus is teaching the crowds. The crowds are questioning Jesus. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, I have come down from heaven? How does He claim to speak the words of God? How does He claim to be teaching for the Lord? Jesus, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they all will be taught by God. He's quoting there the Greek version of the Old Testament, Isaiah 54, 13. The Father is going to draw people to Himself. They all will be taught of God. Everyone who has heard, Jesus says, and learned from the Father comes to Me. You see, when we want children, when we long for children to be taught of the Lord, our first longing is not that they become Bible brainiacs, high-quality candidates for church quiz bowls. That's not the longing. The longing is that children will be brought to the Lord, that they'll hear the word of the Father, they'll come to believe in the Son, that the Spirit will draw them to Himself, and that God from one generation to the next will build His church as children are taught of the Lord. And as I've said, we know some of our greatest heartbreaks are that not all of Israel are Israel. Abraham, Isaac, have sons that were not taught of the Lord. They weren't brought to Christ. But that doesn't exclude the pattern, the covenant purpose of God, that He will build His church through the church's children. Children will be taught by the Lord. Children will, there's our word again of the day, gain the peace brought in Christ. And so kids, let me just speak to you, children, for just a few minutes. You're going to discover that there are a lot of storms that come in your life. Some of you have already experienced some really bad things that have happened. Others of you, it's coming. There are storms. Many of these storms are brought by our own sin. We make mistakes. We trespass against God. We sin. We break His law. And there's a distance that comes from God because of this. And sometimes we come to church and we think, well, I guess my parents are listening to something and maybe my parents like this. I'm not sure what's going on. But the Bible is telling you right here that God has a plan for you. God is purposing to draw kids to Himself. And think about that. Have you ever really professed? Have you ever really said to God, I believe in You. I believe in what You've done through Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He rose again from the dead for my sins. There's nothing greater. The Bible guarantees there's no greater peace than if you believe in Christ and believe that it's the Lord who's teaching you, that you believe that this is life. And I'd love to talk to you about that. That's at the heart of what we want to do with our children. See our children led to Christ. I'd love to talk to you about that. If you have questions about that, come and talk to me. Talk to your parents. Talk to one of the elders here in the church. And think about it. As God draws His children to Himself, there's life, there's hope, there's salvation. It's our joy. I have no greater joy than that my children would walk in the truth. That's the first layer of being taught by the Lord. The Lord will draw children to Himself. But there's a second layer here that really builds on it, and it is this, that God continues to teach His children His Word. God continues to teach His children His Word. When it says that all your children shall be taught by the Lord, it's not just talking about a one-time event where you come to Jesus. It's talking about the Lord being the full-time teacher of you and me and our children. And how does that happen? How does that happen? Not with a voice from the cloud thundering forth or thundering through the roof here, but through His Word. Hebrews 4, this is living and active. You've got the living and active Word of God on your lap, many of you. And what's going to happen as you open it, as you study it by yourself, with your family, with the church? The Lord is going to teach. The Lord will become the teacher. Some of you would be really excited if there was a guest speaker, a guest preacher. You've got your favorite guest preacher that you love to watch on YouTube, listen to on sermon audio. What would it be like if he would come and preach at Second RP? Well, let me tell you this. There are a lot of great guest preachers out there. But what would it be like if the Lord came and started teaching? And we don't even have to ask that question, because that's what's happening. When the Word is opened, why is the Word so central in our worship services? Why do we sing, pray about the Word, read the Word, preach the Word? Because we long for the Lord to teach. Why are our kids' Sunday school classes not 50-minute entertainment sessions? Because the Lord has purposed to teach our children. And this is so encouraging. Sometimes our worship services, our classes, our family worship times, we feel like we're stumbling through. Is anything happening? I'm trying. I don't feel good enough. I can't explain all this. If the word is being read, if it's being understood even a bit, if it's being taught, the Lord is teaching. So for all of you, your personal life, commit. You call yourself a son of God, a daughter of God, commit that you want to be taught by Him. Get your Bible open. Pray with Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. We think about what's going to be happening among us as a congregation, what we want to see. Are you Sunday school classes strengthened, built up in this, so that the Lord will be teaching our children? The first 8 years of Sunday school here, going through the Bible at some level in three different times. By the time our kids are 10 years old or so, reading passages that are then taught in the week on Sunday morning and then discussed together. And then you get into junior high and we'll be doing catechism and then looking into how does the Word of God structure our understanding of the gospel and what God's called us to. And then integrating into that discipleship, calling youth to walk with Christ. And then in the high school, more of the same. Biblical studies, practical Christian living, defending the faith. And then adults, you're still sons and daughters of God no matter how old you are. Adult Sunday school, we've got six topics that we want to be teaching every single year, something on them. Theology, church history, church life, biblical studies, personal Christian life, engaging the world. Six different perspectives on the Word of God so that the Lord will be teaching us week by week. And the prayer is that God will continue to do among us what He's promised to do, that the Lord our teacher will be teaching us. And what's going to happen when you're taught by the Lord our teacher? What's going to happen when you're taught by the Lord our teacher? Well, look down at verse 16 and 17. We won't be spending much time on verse 14 and following, but just see verse 16 and 17. Talking about the enemies. God's created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. There's the storm. There's a storm. There are people that are opposing the church. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. And we say, great, because God's given us a bigger weapon. God's given us some stronger, more powerful weapon. That's what He's going to say. He's going to start talking about what weapon we get. What weapon do we get? You shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Your weapon is a word. A word. What is that word that will be used in your life to refute the tongue that rises in judgment? You know what that word is. Being taught by the Lord in His word. So the devil comes and rises against you in judgment. And you have a word memorized about justification, about being saved in Jesus Christ. The church comes and rails all its assaults against the church. It says, what are you doing there? It's a waste of time. We have the words of Christ. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we become people, not with the physical weapons, but with the double-edged sword of the Word of God, advancing in Christ. And not just you, not just me, our children. It's going to happen in this generation, the next, and the next. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? What application would come from this as we think about this promise that the Lord will teach the children of the storm-tossed, drawing them to Himself and advancing His church through His Word? Three applications briefly. First, praise God. Praise God if He's given you the peace promised here. We are something like, depending on how you do the calculations, the great, great, times 100 grandchildren of these promises. Which means, If you have this peace, you are living proof that these promises are true. The Israelites could never have imagined people this far across the world, or maybe they did as they believed the promises of God, but you are proof that this peace does pass from one generation to the next. Praise God. We'll be doing that even later this morning in singing. Second, pray. Pray for the next generation. There are storms that are afoot. We know we could go through the news stories and the culture and recognize there are storms afoot against the church. We know that each of us could start sharing from our lives and say there are absolutely storms arising against ourselves and against the next generation. But this passage gives us a reason to pray. Because God has promised He will build His church. Pray for what 2 RP will look like in 2070. Many of us won't be here. Some passed on to glory, a few perhaps in other places. But that's biblical thinking. I care about what's coming next, even if I'm not there. Pray for the next generation. And then third, ponder. Ponder where you might serve in seeing these promises come to fulfillment. Ponder where you might serve in seeing these promises come to fulfillment. What family can you encourage? Maybe for some of you, it's just go back to your own family and keep doing what you're doing and trust that God is a God who keeps His promises. What child can you befriend? What class might you be willing to partake in, join in, teach, support, pray for? And here's what you're going to start finding when you do that. You may think, I want to do that so I can help other people in their storms. Great. Praise God. That's what He's called you to. You'll find He's going to start helping you in your own storm as you're giving yourself to this promise that the children will be taught of the Lord. For me growing up, it was my middle school Sunday school class, catechism. Betty Ray was our main teacher. She poured herself into those lessons. The student would ask an innocent question with 10 minutes left in class. You'd come back the next week. She'd have 2 pages written out of answers to the question the student asked. We don't expect that of all our teachers. But the desire is this. The teachers will be caring. The students will be learning. And for me, I didn't just learn that there were answers in the Bible. I learned that. I learned that there were people in the church who cared about kids. I learned that there was someone I could go to, my parents, the pastors, now someone else in the church I could go to with big questions. And there were storms in my life at that time, pondering who I was in the world, who is God, how can I know the truth? And I had someone I could go talk to, another person in the church to ask, and God used that to bring me through the storms I was facing then. And our prayer is that God will be bringing all of us, adults, down to our children, through these storms, and great will be the peace of our children. Let's pray. Father, we're just praying and asking that we would see Your covenant of peace and the storm down to us and to the next generation. You've been faithful every generation up to now, and we have every confidence knowing that You will do it. And Lord, we pray that it will be worked out in the lives of youth here, that not one would walk away from this room, not just the children, not one would walk away from this room not knowing Jesus Christ and this peace. And Lord, we pray all of this for Your glory, for that is why You have set Your covenant in place. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.